So let's go ahead and pray. We can turn on the lights too. Actually, I don't want to turn on the lights. It's okay with me. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We come today with hearts that are open and ears that are ready to hear, expectant, Lord, for you to move great and mighty in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
John chapter 15. Let's look at John 15, verse 7. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the vine. We started this a little bit last week, but we'll continue this week. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides. Now, what's another word for abide? To remain, or to stay, or to live somewhere, right?
Amen.
Not just on Sunday. Where do you live? Well, on Sunday I live here, and then Monday I live over there, and Tuesday. Well, where's your address? Like, you know, your permanent address. So he says, where do you live? He that abides or lives or stays in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth like a branch and is withered. Now we know, I actually saw a branch, went for a walk. There was this branch that was disconnected from the tree. You could tell where it used to be, it was broke off. The tree was green, but the branch wasn't, right? Because it was dead, it was dying, it was withering. And here he says, if you stay connected to me, or as long as you remain connected to me, you will live, you'll bear fruit. But when you get disconnected from me, but when you don't abide or stay, then you wither. And the Bible says that those branches are gathered and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. This is how, or herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And you shall be what? My disciples. So the Lord wants you to be fruitful, right? And one of the things about being fruitful is abiding in him, because he is the life source that causes you to bear fruit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we recognize, you know, if we planted a tree, and I have some plants or whatever I grow, but if I cut those branches, I don't expect anything from the branch that I just cut off. Because I know it's not associated to the tree, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But I would expect the rest of the branches to do better that are still connected to the tree. They'll get more fruit, the leaves will grow, they'll get new shoots, you know, new sprouts, whatever you want to say. Why? Because it's connected to the tree or to the life source. And here Jesus is equating his word, himself, his word, to the life source that we need to stay connected to in order to what? To grow. And not just to grow, but to be fruitful. And he says, if you ask anything, right, whatever you ask of me, because you're connected with me, you ask, keep my word, my Father will do it for you. He wants you to bear much fruit, and so you shall be my what? My disciples. And so King James says, if you keep reading, he says, my Father will prune or purge every tree so that it becomes what? More fruitful. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to get pruned.
Time to
get pruned. So I don't want to be pruned because it hurts. Nobody, come on. Your flesh, you don't even like cutting your toenails or your fingernails, right? Because you could hurt it. You know what I'm saying? You cut it too deep, what happens? It hurts.
Right.
But it grows back.
Right.
Amen? And here, he's talking about there are things in our life that, because the Father loves you, wants you to bear more fruit, he will prune it. Because you don't want to be fruitless. You want to bear what? Much fruit.
That's
so
right.
There's things in your life, in my life, in our lives, that require pruning. And instead of resisting it, like, no, I don't want to be pruned, we should what? Welcome it. We should receive it. Why? Because it will cause us to bear more fruit, more fruitful, more productive. See, now, if we're really smart, we would say, okay, prune away, Lord. Because I know you love me. And it's going to hurt for a little bit, but it'll cause me to be what? More fruitful.
Right.
More productive. And I'll be more, I'll be in an eternally better position than what I am here and now. Let me give you an example. Have you ever done something that was a total waste of time?
Yes. Yes.
Someone said, coming to church. No, not coming to church. But you and I have done something. Like, here's what I did. I'll tell you what I did. It was day after Thanksgiving. You know, and you think before you had all the cyber sales. And I thought, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to go get me a TV at Best Buy. Oh, yeah. I'm ready. So I get up early. I thought 4 a.m. was early. So I drove to Best Buy. It was the one over on San Pedro, right? You know, the 410? Yeah, 410, across from North Star Mall. And it was so misty, it was kind of foggy. And I'm thinking, glory to God, look at me. I'm in line. I got this. You're going to give me my golden ticket. You know, I'm going to hold it. I might sell it, make some money, and go home. I don't know. But I'm just thinking, I got up early. I drove over there. And when I started walking, I'm getting through the foggy, misty part. There was already a line. I couldn't see it, but there was already a line around the store. And I'm thinking, okay, first 10 people. I'm talking there's like 200 people plus. I didn't even stop to count them all. And I thought, what a waste of time. I got up early, got ready, go there, thinking I'm going to get this great, waste of time. And interestingly, in my heart, I already knew, don't go. Yeah. Mm. I already knew, don't go. It's going to be a waste of time. Just, if you get up that early, what should you do? Just read your Bible, pray, do something constructive. But no, I had to get up early, I go there, waste of time. Waste of time. I'm driving back, and then I'm saying to myself, I knew it. What a waste of time. And yet, all the while, the Lord was trying to tell me, that's a waste of time. This is not being very productive. Now, I never got that day back. That day was gone. That morning, you know what I'm saying, those hours were gone. Unfruitful, unproductive hours. Yet it wasn't the Lord's fault, because he was trying to tell me, don't waste time doing that. Mm-hmm. He was trying to prune me, in a sense, and I wasn't being very prunable. I wasn't really listening to him, because I wanted to do what? My own unproductive thing. So now, not to say I never go and look and do something, but if I do something, it's so important. I try every morning to pay more attention to what he's telling me to do, what he's directing me to do. You know, sometimes we have so many things going on in our life. Oh, I got this, I got this, oh, this, oh, I got no time. Not true. You're wasting a lot of time. Because a lot of what you might be doing or I'm doing is not very fruitful or productive in an eternal sense. We might be busy. You know, like I told you last week, my wife usually, when she gets up, she asks me this question. Not, do you love me? Do you love the Lord? Did you read your Bible? None of those questions. She says, did you sweep the floor for me? I'm like, dear God, woman, what am I going to do with you? How many hours do I have to pray for you, right? And then after I sweep, okay, I'll sweep for the floor. And then I keep the lint from the day before. And then I throw it in the garbage and check the garbage, you know, the next day. And say, oh, it's in there. It's there. Good job. But the point I'm making is this, is that the Lord wants to what? He wants us to be the most effective with our time.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with cleaning. But you realize you can clean forever and something's still going to get dirty again. Amen? Yes. You know what I'm saying? You can cook and then you clean the dishes and then you eat. And then you cook, and you clean, and you wash the clothes, and you dry the clothes, and you fold the clothes, and then you do that every day. And you got to go buy the food, put the gas in the car, get the oil changed, mow the lawn, put gas in the mower, wash the mower, grass grows, mow the lawn. And you're thinking, wow, of course you gotta go to work, brush your teeth. Now I don't have to worry about hairstyles too much. I don't have to waste too much time on that, but maybe you do. Spend a lot of time, well, what hairstyle will I have today? Well, be led. Because it could take what? A lot of your time.
Yeah.
And all of those things really aren't bearing fruit. Meaning there's no real eternal value. There's things that we need to do with that here and now, but you got to look beyond that, that those are not the most important things, right? So when, like for me, if it wasn't that the Lord wasn't trying to, he didn't want me not to have a TV, you know, because I could spiritualize and say, I want a TV so I can watch Christian television and play Christian DVDs and movies, and it'll all be Christian. It'll be sweet. I'll put my Bible on there. I'll put scriptures around my TV, Lord. So just give me this TV. That's not what is, no. It's not about that. It's how fruitful or productive am I being with my time? With my, let me say it this way, with my life. Because your life is made up of what? Time. Now, when I was in school, I used to look at the clock and go, man, that thing moves really slow. You know, you watched, we had second hands, you watch it go, oh, okay. This time is killing me. You know, we say, I'm just killing time, right? But you don't realize how precious time is. Because if you had, you know, people who have, say, a lot of money, what do they wish? I wish I could buy more time. Because they realize time is really what's important. Because with time, you can do things. With money, there's some things you can and cannot do. Right? But with time, you can serve the Lord. You can become what? More fruitful. More productive. And he's always trying to get us to be what? More fruitful and more productive. Why? Because that's what's going to last through eternity. That's Amen. What's going to last through eternity. Amen. So look at verse 16, John 15. Jesus says this, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you. He's commissioned you. He's called you for a purpose. What is that purpose? That you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may what? Give it to you. Now, I get encouraged or excited because even though I may have wasted a lot of time in the past, maybe not, what have you, I still got time right now.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to keep wasting time. I remember we talked about last week, every generation has their own challenge, but it's no different than another generation. Meaning, like, people say, well, you don't know, it's really hard being a kid these days. I understand, but it was hard being a kid when I was a kid. Now, we had different challenges. Like, when I was a kid, it's when video games first came out. Wow. This was great. Then I realized at some point, I am wasting time. Days playing this and doing this. Lord, I need help. This is before, you know, you had to only use your thumbs for video games. You know, you actually had to use more fingers and more interactive and stuff like that. But can the Lord help you redeem the time that you have? Yes, he can.
Yes.
So even though you and I might feel like, man, we haven't been too productive with our lives in the past, that doesn't mean we can't be more productive with our lives, what, going forward. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Yeah.
And this should be very comforting to us.
Yeah.
Because he knew you,
yeah.
Of course, before you were born.
Yeah.
And you know, deep down you think, Lord, I need some help because, you know, this is why when people say, I just want to live like the devil all my life, and before I die, I'll give my heart to the Lord. Right? People say that way, think that way?
Yeah.
The problem with that is it doesn't mean you don't go to heaven if you give your heart to the Lord. It just means you don't have a lot of eternal rewards when you get there. That's the problem, right? You know, and again, people think, well, heaven's all the same. No, it's not. It's not communism. It's not socialism. It's not, if he said, I'm going to reward you according to your works, that's you. That's what you did. That's not what somebody else did or didn't do. It's what you did. So he said, you know, because he wants us to be fruitful, not just because it's going to be great for other people, but it's going to impact your eternity. So should you waste time, think I'm just killing time? No, don't do that. Yield to him, right? I started thinking about this yesterday while I was driving, and I was thinking on how, in the morning, how much freer would you be in life? How much freer if you put him first, asking him, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Mm. Spend some time asking him. Now, there's a lot of things that could be done, right? You could talk to the grass and say, grass, slow down. I don't want to mow you today. I ain't mowing you, right? Or whatever. I'm not talking about being lazy. You understand. But you could be so busy and consumed with everything that you're not doing anything for him. That you're not being as productive or fruitful for him. And he wants you to be what? Fruitful and productive so that your heavenly Father gets much glory. This is why he created you. He said, I've chosen you so that you bear what? Much fruit.
That's right.
It wouldn't really make sense to me if I bought a fruit tree that was never going to be fruitful or productive. You know, this doesn't make sense. You would expect something to grow. You know, you pay for education. What if you order something online, some educational material online? And when you got it, you played it, it was blank. You think, what is this? It's empty. It's nothing there. It's like it's been erased. I paid good money for this. So what do you expect? You expect something from what you paid for.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you go to the restaurant, you order a burrito, the Whopper, the giant, whatever burrito they call it, and you get it's a little tiny thing, and you're like, it's like 2-3 inches long, they put a little sauce on there, and you're like, what is this? It's a burrito. Yeah, no, the picture, well, it says not actual size. It's much smaller than what it really comes out. Like, no, I don't want to pay for this. I expect to get what? My money's worth.
Yeah. Right.
My wife, in a good way, she wants to get her money's worth. So when we go to shop at a market or something, she'll look through 50, 60 bottles of the same thing and see which one's a little bit higher. You know, like 60 fluid ounces, she wants a 60.2. See there? That one's a little bit higher. I was like, honey, you realize, I gotta pray for her. I said, you realize the time you spent looking for that is wasted time. We don't get that time back. I know you feel good, but there's a lot of that's happened in that 20 minutes that you had to select the perfect thing, the perfect bottle, right? But we all do that in some ways. But the Lord wants us to speed up. He wants to speed up, help us redeem our time so we can be fruitful and productive for him.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, one thing in thinking about this was that we have to be, he wants us to be led. He wants us, you know, to recognize opportunities. He wants us to be sensitive to his voice, to be productive and fruitful, but that part comes on us. We have to take that time to spend time with him to do that. Look at this verse. Ephesians 4, verse 28. It says, let him, now he's talking to Christians, right? Let him that stole, stop stealing, right? Steal no more, okay? But rather, let him labor or work with his hands the thing which is good, so that he may have to give to him that needs. So here he's just simply saying, if you are a thief, quit stealing. But now it's time to work, do something productive. Why? So that you have something to give to somebody that needs.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, this is another message. We can qualify what it means to need something. But here he's saying you work so that you can what? Give.
Amen.
So that you can get fruit. So that you can be a blessing. That's the purpose of working. Not so you can just consume it on your own self, what you want, what you think, right? Your life. That's not the purpose of working.
Mm.
Here's the purpose is to work so that what? You might be able to give.
Give.
And if you give, you're a blessing to others.
Yeah.
Jesus said, whatever you do to others, you've done it unto me,
right?
It's like you've given it to the Lord. Why? Because then now you are starting to qualify, or you're starting to become fruitful. So that when you leave this earth, you go into eternity, you have something to show for this life.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And that's what he wants. Now, look at the 5:1. Just keep going. Ephesians 5:1. Ephesians 5. It says, be imitators of God, dear children, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Amen. As an offering and sacrifice to God with a sweet smelling aroma. Now it says, look at the next part. Fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, either filthiness or foolish talking, or coarse jesting or joking, which are not fitting or right, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now again, he's talking about an inheritance. Now, what is an inheritance? If someone left you an inheritance, what did they do? They gave you some what? Some stuff. And here he's saying, if you're practicing all these things, if you're doing all these things, if you're fornicating or coveting or all these different things, you don't have an inheritance. Do you know why? It's not because God don't love you. That's why he told you don't do that. It's because your time is being consumed in practicing all these things. You're coveting, so you're thinking, well, if I can get that, ooh, yeah, what are they going to think of me, right? I need this, I want that. So you're spending your lifetime, your time on life, in life, on earth, doing these things which have no eternal value. Doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have something. He wants to be what? First in your life. And so if I'm coveting something, you know, and I know, the idea of getting something and then once you get it, it isn't quite what you thought it would be when you got it, right? You think, oh man, people are going to love me, everyone's going to look at me when I'm driving this or wearing this, and you get it, people don't care. And then inside you think, I'm supposed to feel better about getting this, but I don't feel it. I ain't feeling it right now. You collect something, you start collecting something, anybody have a collection of something? Anybody? Just me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if I collect something, if I get that, oh, it's going to be great. And the second you get it and you look at it, you go, oh. All right. Well, let me see what else I can collect. It must be the next one. Right? If I get the next one, then, well, what happened? I'm spending all my time on natural, earthly things and not on anything really spiritual or that's going to give me what? Fruit. Spiritual fruitfulness that'll let me grow in my, the Lord wants me to increase, he wants me to do these things, but he wants me to do that so we can be a blessing. So if I'm not using it for the right reasons or I'm just wasting all my time, I'm not going to have an inheritance when I leave the earth because I've used all my time on the wrong thing. Does that make sense? So, we just keep reading. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, or because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, right? If you read through this chapter, he says, don't be partakers with them. What does that mean? That means don't do what they're doing, because it's not fruitful or productive for you on an eternal scale, on a long-term scale. You know, the Bible says that godly exercise is profitable, right? I mean, physical exercise is profitable. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Mm-hmm. That means you can exercise physically and it does you some good. It does you a little bit of good here and now. But it's not a spiritual thing in the sense that you're going to earn rewards for how big your biceps are. Or how fast you can run down here. Or whatever. It's good. You should do it. But it's not eternally rewarding or fruitful. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Unless it helps you do what you need to do for the Lord.
That's right. Yeah.
So if I want to go for walks and exercise just because I know, well, hey, I got to take this mission trip and it's going to be a long walk, I'm preparing or practicing for that. That's one thing, right? It helps me achieve something that's spiritual in the long term. But just doing something for your own physical body is not going to be productive, eternally speaking, it's not going to bring you a lot of fruit. Amen? It does consume a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, I always think about this. People build their physical bodies, right? Work out, yeah, go do this. And they build their minds. They go to get an education. We spend millions and millions of dollars in universities. And yet, their spirit being, they don't do anything with it. Their spirit, they leave it weak and small, and they don't develop their spirit at all, which is the most important part.
Yeah.
So we see the Lord is saying, don't waste your time on these things. And the problem is, what we should want is say, Lord, can you prune me, please? Can you correct me and help me and show me things in my life that aren't productive? That, you know, I'm not being as productive as I should be. Can you show me some things in my life?
Yeah.
Right? You know, some people, like, they want to sleep during church. I mean, you know, not you guys. If you fall asleep here, it's okay. I'm glad you could get some peace, okay? I don't mean that. I mean, they don't come to church because they want to sleep in. Which, you could sleep in after church, couldn't you? Well, yeah, but then, you know, I got things to do. Okay. So what am I saying is that, think about it. The Lord wants you to be fruitful and productive. Why?
Yeah.
Because it brings an eternal inheritance.
Yeah.
And He wants us to start small, right where you are.
Yeah.
Don't get so caught up on what's going on in the world, you know, what's going on in North Korea or South Korea or the Middle East. You spend all your time looking at that, right? And then that means you're not spending time doing something else. Because you're spending time. Spending. Like dollars, you're spending time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you spending your time on? Amen?
Amen.
Something that we have to consider. So,
yeah.
Verse 15. Keep going. Go to verse 15. I want us to see this. So he says, don't be partakers. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And look at verse 15. I think, hey, look at your neighbor and say, we're going to be more fruitful.
We're going to be more fruitful.
More productive.
We're going to be more fruitful.
Yes. Amen. All right, look at this. Verse 15. All right, it says, awake, you who... We'll start with verse 14. Awake, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light.
Light.
He'll help you see what's important.
Right.
Right? You'll get more light, more revelation, more insight. And he says, then walk circumspectly, or walk wise, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Right?
Mm.
So he's not trying to make this hard. He says, don't be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Uh-huh. Don't be dumb. Your time is limited. He said, I can help you redeem the time. You know what the word redeem means? To buy back.
Wow, that's good.
And this was what the word redeem, like when they would redeem a slave. What is a slave? Anybody know? Somebody who was purchased, a person. Like, I need a volunteer. You, right here. Come on. So, back in the day, if I was going to purchase human trafficking, something of that nature, she was a slave, I would redeem or purchase her just for the purpose of setting her free. I would buy her so she could be free. Not to use her in any way, or make her a slave, or torture her, or anything like that. I would buy her so she could be free. Her life. You're free. Okay, thank you. You're free. Jesus bought you. He redeemed you so you could live free.
Hallelujah.
So you could bear what? Much fruit.
That's good.
You see, you don't have to worry. You don't have to wither. You stay connected with me because I purchased you. Now you're free. You're free to live, but it's really smart if you live for me. Because I'll reward you not only here, but there. He said, I'll make you, remember we talked about the servants who were faithful over a little?
Yeah.
Jesus gave them what? Cities.
Right.
Nations to rule over. You think, I just got this little thing going on. Not to him, because he's looking at your faithfulness. And if you're faithful with a little bit, he'll what? Make you ruler over a lot.
That's right.
And now you got this time just to show, I'm just going to be faithful. Because he's going to make me what? A ruler over a lot. So I can be fruitful. One of the best things we talked about is love. You know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace.
Yeah.
One of the things he said, if you love me, do what I say.
Mm.
Don't hate people. Love them.
Yeah.
Because I forgave you. I redeemed you. Right? You thought there was no hope for you, but he redeemed you.
Yeah.
Set you free. Why? So you could go live for him. So you could be fruitful for him. So that you could bring the Father much glory. Because remember, he chose you.
Yes.
Of all the people, why did he choose you? I'm special. I'm handsome. I'm, you know. But no. He chose you because he knew you would choose him.
That's good.
He
wow.
knew you. So he chose
yeah.
you.
And wow.
He knew when you heard his word, you would respond to it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And you would suffer some things for him. Mm-hmm. Knowing that heaven ain't that far away.
That's
your
right.
eternity is going to last forever. And you're going to have an inheritance that won't fade. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Let me say this. I got a couple more minutes. One more scripture before we close in prayer. You never see how these sometimes people go, in closing, but finally, and then they go, and finally, in closing. Like, how many closings does this guy have? How many finalies do I have to go through? Last one. Seriously, Matthew 7, verse 15. You know, I think in life when it talks about God's wisdom, we read in Ephesians, the wise know this. They know what is important, and they know what's not important. In life, if you ask the Lord, Lord, show me what's important and what's really not important. That's
yeah.
wisdom. You start to discern what's important and what's not important. Because
yeah.
then you spend your time on what's what? Really important.
Yeah.
And what's not so important, you don't have to spend your time on. But look at this. Matthew 7, verse 15. Jesus says this, beware. Look at your neighbor and say, beware.
Beware.
Be aware of false prophets. Ah, oh, man, we got to deal with falseness, right? Which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They might say the right things. They might do the right things. But inwardly, in their heart, the part you can't see, they are ravening wolves. You know, sheep and wolves don't get along, right? They can't like hang out together. Right? It's like, you shall know them by their fruits.
Mm.
Now, this is important because if you don't look for fruit, how are you going to be able to tell which one is the sheep and which one's the wolf?
That's good.
If you just look at their social media or their marketing, you don't know if this is a sheep or a wolf. But he said, beware of false prophets. That means they're going to try to look like the real thing, but they're not. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And what happens is you could spend a lot of money and resources and time for nothing. You could just lose because they're fake or they're false. And I'll give you an example. Like the orphanage that doesn't really exist except on pictures on the internet. Mm-hmm. So you actually go to that place and there is no orphanage?
Uh-oh.
You understand?
Uh-oh.
Hey, but he's so charismatic and he's so dynamic and they said they were doing this. But you go there, it's not real.
Huh.
It doesn't exist.
Uh-oh.
But I sent him money for the kids.
Yeah.
The kids aren't real. You understand?
Yeah.
Jesus said, be aware.
Yes.
A false prophet. You will know them by their fruit.
That's right.
Not by their social media presentation.
That's right.
Or the robe that they wore back in the day, right? He wants you to be smart. He wants you to be wise, right? So that, because you know, the enemy's trying to rip you off and get you to go through this life without bearing any fruit.
Mm.
Or misapplying your resources to something else. But you don't have to go that way. You don't have to go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I know the Lord is my shepherd, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's leading me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fruit inspector.
Mm-hmm.
You're right? You're not a judger. You're like, hey, let me see your fruit, right?
Right.
You can just know, okay, I have to, like, I'll give you an example. I don't say anything about having a baby. You know why? Because I've never had a baby. I can't say it's not really that painful. I don't know what the big deal is. Right? I can't say that because I've never done that. I have no fruit in that area. My wife does. I don't. So anything I would say, like, oh, on a 1 to 10, I feel like it's a 7. It's just fake. It's false because I have no fruit there.
Yeah.
Right? If you ask me some other question, I could probably, okay, I have some experience along that line. But these are things you have to look at when you're dealing in life. And you just have to trust the Lord. If he says, don't do that, you don't have to go, why? 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 I think it looks good. I want to. I want to. I want. You don't have to do that. Just trust him.
Amen.
Right? If he says there's false prophets out there, then you know that there's what? False prophets out there.
Yeah. Yes.
Because he said there was.
Yeah.
And if he says, be wise, that means you could be dumb. I could be dumb. I've been dumb before. It doesn't work out good. I don't like it. Right? You know, when you get dumb, when you feel dumb, you feel really dumb, right? But when you feel that way, the enemy's always there to he's always there to make you feel smaller, even smaller than you already felt. Yeah, you're really dumb. You know, other people are dumb, but you are super dumb. Yeah. And there's no hope for you, and you'll never have anything, and nobody cares. And God can't use you. He's always trying to minimize you. But God is not a minimizer. He's a maximizer.
That's good.
And whatever you haven't done yet doesn't mean you can't do it for him. Amen? He wants you to bear much fruit. He wants you to say, I can impact nations. You know, like, I even say, like, say this church. You know, you guys don't, I mean, we don't talk about it a lot, but we can impact, we are impacting nations.
Yes.
Through projects and things that we've done.
Yeah.
People's lives are being changed and they're being blessed.
Yeah.
And so you should not go around thinking, I'm just kind of small, little me. No. You should think, God's going to use me to make a major impact in this world.
Yes.
Because he told me to bear much fruit. That's what he told me to do.
Yes.
So I'm just going to follow him and do it. Simple.
Amen.
Not hard. He loves me. He cares about me. He redeemed me for the purpose of bearing fruit. Not for the purpose of just being selfish and wasting my life, wasting years. And even if we did waste years, those are gone. Okay, put it behind you. Don't feel bad about that because now you wasted more thinking about the past. Right? He can redeem those years. He can bring it back. He can make you fruitful and productive going forward.
Amen.
So don't get sad. Oh, I should have went to church. I feel good. No. Mm-hmm. Say, look, Lord, prune me. Show me. Help me. And he will.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I get excited. I don't feel bad of my mistakes. I learn from it so I don't make it again. If I make it again, Lord, I need help. Lord, you saw I made it again. I forgot to sweep the floor again this morning, Lord. Forgive me. I really don't think, I mean, I know it's important to my wife, but I just personally, honey, I don't know where it comes from. It's not me. Long hair, it's the daughters. You are the daughters, it's not me. Why am I sweeping this? There's no eternal reward. Anyway, I'm going to get in trouble for that, I'm sure. Pray for me, y'all. So, but just think about that. The Lord can use you. It's not too late for you. You can be fruitful. You can maximize you. You can do more than you ever thought you could do. So don't listen to the enemy. Say, Lord, help me redeem my time. And he will. Look what he did through Jesus in 3.5 years.
That's right.
What if you got 10 years or 20? What if you just got 1 year? How much fruit could you bear? A lot.
Yes.
You could change the world. You. Amen? Amen. With him, linked to him, his life flowing through you, you can change the world.
That's good. Amen.
Let's close in prayer. For real this time. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. And Lord, we just ask you to show us areas in our life that are being wasted. That we just, Lord, we need some help. We need to be pruned. We need to get corrected. And Lord, when we do correct us, we won't resist you. We'll receive your word because we know you want us to be fruitful, productive, and happy. And so, Lord, we look to you to do that. We invite you to speak to us in areas in our lives that we need to change. And we thank you for doing that, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Well, you know, the more pruning that occurs in our life, the more productive we'll be, right? The more fruitful we'll be. And it may not look like such a great deal now, but when you get to heaven, you know, the Bible says, what's your life? It's but a what? It's about a vapor. You're gone, right? And yet while you're here, you know, the enemy's always trying to get you to do other things, get you distracted, focus on this, focus on that, and you're not focusing on what? Being fruitful. But Jesus redeemed you for that purpose. Amen? So, you know, I just want to encourage you along that line. All right, we're going to go ahead and get ready to take up our offering. And if you need an envelope, raise your hand. And you're making out a check, you can make it to Faith Christian Center, FCC. And part of being fruitful and productive is we love the Lord with what? Our money.
Yeah.
We love him because that's a resource that he's given us so we can reach the world, so we can be a blessing to people. Amen?
Yeah.
And again, the enemy tries to minimize even what you give. Like, well, what you give is no big deal. It's a big deal. Right? Because it's a seed and it grows. And Jesus said, if you're faithful in what? A little bit?
Yeah.
He'll make you ruler over what?
Much.
Amen? And that's why we serve the Lord with even our first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the day or whatever time you select. The devil said, that's not a big deal. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal because it's something that will grow. I mean, think about, you could avoid an accident by listening to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
You could avoid something bad happening to you if you follow him.
Yeah.
How many of you ever were driving and the Lord said, turn this way, or you felt impressed, go this way, go that way, you did. Well, nothing happened. That's because you went that way.
Yeah.
Nothing was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But then other times, how many times you heard people go, I knew I shouldn't have done that, right? Why'd you do it? I don't know, but I knew I shouldn't have done that. Then why'd you do it? I don't know, I just did it. But something was telling me not to do it.
Huh.
But I listened. I just don't know why God let this happen. He was yelling at you from heaven. Just don't do it. You think, no, it's just me. A lot of times it sounds like you, but it's the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And so, redeeming your time. Says, if you could avoid that, look how many years you would have saved.
Yes.
Or hours.
Yes.
Amen? The Lord's helping us. And he's helping us for a reason, so we can be more fruitful in production. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Diary prayer with the offering?
No.
All Lord, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give. And Lord, we're here. We're alive. We're on earth. We can give. We can start putting fruit into our heavenly account. We just thank you for that privilege and opportunity. Multiply it, Lord, back to us so we can continue to give with a joyful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, well,
thank you.
Be blessed as you give. Hey, you know what's interesting? Keep this verse up. This verse, it says, you know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He says, no, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. You know what's interesting about that? Do you ever think, how could a bad tree bear good fruit? It can't. That's why you got saved. You used to be a bad tree.
Oh.
Right? You used to be without Christ. And then when you got saved, God did a miracle. He made you a good tree.
That's good.
Amen?
That's good.
You're a good tree now. You're not a bad tree. You're a good tree.
That's good.
So isn't that neat? He said, you can't. It can't happen. But once you get saved, a miracle takes place. You become from a bad tree to a good tree.
That's awesome.
I don't care if it's an oak tree or a palm tree. I'm just saying, this is a tree. You went from a dead tree to a good tree. Amen? All right. Any announcements?
We're raising money for the kids. So if you want to... Oh, for the youth, yeah. For their trip next week. So if you want to take, you know, yes.
This week.
This Wednesday. And so if you want to give a donation and grab a couple things, Anna made the cupcakes. Woo, thank you for donating that. And Brooke made the cookies. So thank you. So it's going to, and we got good people. So amen. So next Wednesday, no Bible study, women's Bible study this Wednesday. But next Wednesday we will meet though.
And all pray for the youth. As they go.
Yeah. And Tuesday, summer fun.
Tuesday,
yes.
Summer fun here at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Right? And they have youth retreat this week, youth camp. So if you want a fundraiser or help support the youth, that'll be great. Because they have many years to be fruitful. Right?
Yes.
I'm not trying to play this really long, but think about this. If you invest in the life of a youth, even if you go, well, I didn't do much when I was good. Okay, fine, whatever. Who cares? Get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. But if you invested in the life of a youth, whatever fruit they bear or grow from their life, from when you invested it, you get a part of that. See, this is what I'm saying. As you invest in the kingdom of God, everything that kid does, you get a part of it because you help contribute to it. You were some of the miracle grow God used to put on that plant. Right? You think, I'm a miracle grow right here. So working together, amen? And so that's what I say, we don't wait till we're, you know, before we leave the earth to do anything for God. You do it your whole life. You say, okay, I didn't always make best use, but I'm going to start doing my best, amen? And the Lord will help me. All right, that's it, right? All right, God bless y'all. Greet one another. Spend some time with each other. Smile at each other. Give each other a hug.